Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
If you're like most English learners, you've probably heard the word ass used very frequently in English speaking in songs, movies, and TV series.
But did you know that this word has a multitude of uses that mean completely different things? Although you should definitely be very careful with all uses of this word, often the use can in fact be neutral or even positive.
While it's important to emphasize that we do need to be careful with this word, this does not mean we should ignore it. If you close your mind to this important word and all of its meanings and never learn how native speakers use it, you will miss so much.
And if you want to learn even more about this highly used word, make sure you check out our Instagram at reallife.english as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
sublime
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, hauling ass down the freeway, or even
planning your outfit for Halloween.
So I'm joined here in the virtual Barcelona studio, as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
It's going really well. Thanks for asking. How about you?
I'm doing excellently. So are you already planning out your costume or your fancy dress for Halloween?
Not really. Like, I'm getting a bit excited because we always kind of do a Halloween lesson. And last year's lesson was pretty fun. We got to do like a magic trick in one of the videos.
We'll have to link that in the show notes in case people missed it. I believe it was with Selena Gomez, right?
Was it that one or was it the Friends one? I think maybe you're right.
We did a couple Halloween ones. So by the time this one comes out, it'll be getting close to Halloween. So we can link both those lessons in case people want to get in the spirit of that holiday, which is popular both in the USA and in the UK, although we celebrate a bit different. We also did a podcast kind of talking about the differences, didn't we?
I think we might have.
So we'll link that as well. But that is neither here nor there. Today we are talking all about the word ass, which is a word, as we mentioned in the intro, in the summary, that is very common, especially in American English. And before we get into any of that, though, we have a shout out for a very kick-ass learner out there.
Yeah, so today's shout out comes from Hivana. There's lots of A's. I think they maybe added some A's at the end of their name. And it's titled Best English App Ever. I've been following you first on YouTube, Instagram, and now podcasts with this amazing app for the last 3 months every day. I should say I'm really satisfied with my English level at the moment, and my main goal is to elevate it to become native in English. Thank you again. Live long and prosper.
It's a Star Trek fan, isn't it?
Yes, I think we had a Star Trek fan once before as well, maybe.
Right. So that's really great. I'm so glad to hear, Hivana, that all of our channels, YouTube, Instagram, podcasts, and the app are all helping you with your English. You're really getting a full package there, I guess, with if you're following us in all those different places, and you can improve your listening a lot. And you, dear listener, if you want us to shout you out, then you should definitely check out the app if you have not already, because you can get a full transcript for this episode and so many other ones, which is going to help you to really improve your listening and your vocabulary, because you get vocabulary definitions on there. And of course, at the touch of a button, you can practice your speaking there as well and discover different cultures and make friends around the world. So I highly recommend that you check that out. You can download it in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store by searching for Real Life English, or just click the link in the description of this episode. And if you enjoy it, you can leave us a 5-star review and we might shout you out just like we did Hivana. So that said, before we get into today's main topic, we have a quote from the truly great inventor of the wizarding world, J.K. Rowling.
Yes. So in case you don't know, J.K. Rowling wrote the Harry Potter books, and I thought this quote was very fitting for today's podcast. So she says, "Part of what makes a language alive is its constant evolution. I love editing Harry with Arthur Levine, my American editor. The differences between British English, of which there must be at least 200 versions, and American English, ditto, are a source of constant interest and amusement to me."
Yeah, that is really interesting too, because it's a discussion we were having the other day, is that when you say like native English, it's like, okay, which native English? Because in the United States, you could be talking about English from the South. You could be talking about the Midwest. You could be talking about California. There's all of these different accents. And the UK, it's even crazier because you have all this history. So maybe you drive 20 minutes in your car and you're hearing a accent that's quite different. So it can be kind of interesting to reflect on that when you say native English. What do you mean exactly? Because there's so many differences, and that's just two countries. I mean, you can get into also, you know, places where English is officially spoken as a second language, like Nigeria, Ghana, India, South Africa, and you're going to get all of these like huge varieties, right, of the language.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's quite a cool aspect as well. Like when you think about books, there are so many different versions, they get translated into different languages. But even Harry Potter has a British English version and an American English version, because like some of the vocabulary is so different. So to help people understand, they change even the books in English.
It's funny you mention that, because when I went to the UK for the first time, one of the Harry Potter books had recently come out, and I really wanted to buy it there because I had heard about this. Like even the illustrations on the cover are different. Mm. And so I read, it was maybe the fifth or the sixth book in the British English version. And it was quite interesting because it's like, you know, you have no problem as a native English speaker understanding it, the British version. So for me, it was like really crazy thinking that they actually have to make an American version for this, for, because many Americans maybe that aren't so, that haven't had much exposure to British culture wouldn't understand certain things of it and stuff. So that for me was just crazy. And I really actually enjoyed reading it and seeing some of those differences. Like one of the small ones that most people, most learners of English might know, like that it, instead of saying pants, it would say trousers, because pants in the UK are very different, right?
Yeah, pants is your underwear. So right. So many differences like that. Yeah, I think it's really cool.
Another thing related to that too is like movies like James Bond, where it's technically British, but I think it's like dumbed down in a sense, or it's appropriated to be more neutral so that Americans and an international audience can understand it, right?
Yeah, I think sometimes you can even tell with certain movies, like certain British movies, you can tell if they've been made more specifically for wider audiences or like American audiences, because maybe us as Brits, sometimes we're like, oh, why are they talking like that? And it's a bit less natural, but I think it's just so that everybody can understand it and so that it appeals to more people.
Exactly. One of the really interesting things I think with nowadays with Netflix and Amazon and whatnot, that we have so many more series that are available to us than if you just were to be watching the local TV. And I've gotten a lot of recommendations from you that are actually like True Blue or, you know, real British series, not the ones that are made for an American audience or an international audience, like the Line of Duty, which we cited as one of the best series that we've seen so far this year. And there are so many expressions and stuff that I had to ask Andrea, like, what does that mean? I've never seen that before. Which if you watch like James Bond, for example, you don't really find the use of those really British expressions.
Yeah, it's true. It's good, isn't it? It's nice to like widen your reach and just learn more things.
It's really fun. I think that's one of the fun things about, I mean, many languages, but English, even as a native speaker, nowadays with the fact that we have these different series and stuff, there's so much that we can still be discovering about our own language.
Yeah, and even sometimes when we're talking, we still find like phrases or expressions that are different to ours. Like maybe we still kind of understand each other, but we're like, oh, what's that? Like, does that mean this? And, you know, we're like, oh, we don't use that in the UK. Or you're like, oh, we don't really use that. That must be a really British one. And we're still discovering new ones all the time.
And I think for you, dear listener, as an English learner, I wouldn't let this let you get stressed out. I would actually say that you can use it to empower you, because even us natives, we don't know everything. And being fluent in a language doesn't mean that you know everything. There's always new things to discover. And again, depending on where the English is coming from and whatever. So really, don't get stressed out that you don't know everything. It's a lifelong thing that even as native speakers, we're always learning.
Yeah, exactly.
So that said, today you can learn, and maybe even Andrea is going to be learning some of these, some very creative ways that we use the word ass in English, which many people think of as a curse word, but not necessarily. There's a lot of ways that we use this that are used in a fun way or in a positive way even, that you can encounter in all sorts of different things like watching TV, reading a book, listening to the radio, listening to a podcast. So they can be very beneficial for you to learn about. So let's get into today's main topic. Hey there, Real Lifer. Have you downloaded the Real Life English app yet? On the app, Andrea and I will guide you beyond the classroom to live, learn, and even speak English in the real world. So how do we do this? To start with, you can listen to the Real Life English podcast and Beyond Borders talk show, even this very episode, with digital transcripts so that you can follow along and develop your listening fluency. Plus, check dozens of definitions of all the most difficult vocabulary, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and so much more that you won't find anywhere else or in any other podcast. And how would you like to develop real-life speaking confidence at the touch of a button by speaking with other learners while making friends across cultures? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, now with the Real Life app, it will be a dream come true. Download the app to listen to our podcast with transcripts and definitions whenever and wherever you want, and speak with people from all around the world. What are you waiting for? Join our global community today by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or by going to www.realifeglobal.com/app. That's APP. Or simply search for the Real Life English app in the Google Play or Apple App Store today and let us guide you beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. Ah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think before we even start to share some of these expressions with this very special word, I think that it's important to note the difference in pronunciation because it's pretty significant.
And even spelling, if people are writing more British English or American English, you need to know that the spelling is different.
Yeah, definitely. So how do you say this word, Ethan?
I would say ass.
Okay, and how do you spell it?
A-S-S.
Yeah, so in British English, this word ass, A-S-S, means a donkey, which I think is the same for you as well, right? It has that meaning. But to use these expressions, like the way that we would say all of these expressions, we wouldn't use this pronunciation in British English. We would say ass.
Mm. Yeah, which is very subtle as well, ass and ass. Even for listeners, maybe it's a little bit tricky to hear the difference, but it's because you have an R there, right? So it's kind of like a different vowel sound than when you just have the A by itself.
Yeah, so it's A-R-S-E, and we don't pronounce the R, so you don't really hear the R. It's non-rhotic, so it's ass. Mm-hmm. We just elongate that first sound.
And I'm guessing you couldn't really do any of these expressions that we have that we're going to be talking about today. You couldn't just switch it out for A-R-S-E and have it be a British expression, right? It doesn't really work that way. You use the American spelling or?
That's a really good question.
Do we need to ask someone at Oxford or Cambridge?
Like, yeah. What's the... I think we'd probably use our spelling actually, and that would be the way that we say it. I'm curious actually, just thinking about it now, if it would be different in certain cities, like maybe in the north and things like that, where they don't really have this sound, this elongated like R sound is more synonymous with like some of the southern cities in England. And maybe the further up north you go, they would pronounce it differently.
Right. That goes back to that quote from J.K. Rowling that there's at least 200 versions of British English, right? So yeah. If you go to the north of the UK, you're hearing something completely different than what you would hear in the south.
Exactly.
Definitely something we're going to have to ask around about the pronunciation of os or accent in different parts of the UK.
Yeah, I think in some parts, just thinking about it off the top of my head now, like in Manchester, for example, you might hear the R a little bit more as they say it. And so it would be a mixture of like the two. They would kind of like maybe say, oh no, I can't even try it. It's just not, I don't even know how my mouth should be when I say it, but they wouldn't do the R sound. It would be a bit more like ah, but you'd probably hear the R as well. Yeah.
And in Scotland, would they do like the American, or would they like roll that R a bit?
I don't think they would roll the R in this word. Yeah. But you'd probably hear the R a bit more again, I think. Yeah. Like arse or something.
That sounds amazing. And probably in Irish English, it would be the same, right? That has kind of like the similar to American with the R pronunciation.
Yeah, probably.
If there's any teachers listening to this from different parts of the English speaking world, you're going to have to go over to the show notes and comment on there and let us know about how you pronounce this word in your part of the world. Maybe we could even do an Instagram post about this or something.
Yes, please do. Help us out.
We're really curious. So we might as well get into some of these expressions, and I'm sure we'll see more differences between American and British and whatnot as we get into them. So the first one we have, what is it, Andrea?
Well, I would say you bet your ass.
With an R or without the R?
What do you mean?
Would you spell that A-R-S-E, or would you do it like the donkey?
No, all of these I think would be A-R-S-E.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it could be like you bet your ass, like a, I don't know, maybe it comes from like you're betting your donkey or something, which would be, for some people, maybe it's like related to, I don't know, if you think of back in medieval times or something, that's like your donkey might be your most valuable possession or something that you can't live without it. So
yeah, that's true.
Maybe it's derived from that. You never know. Mm. And what does this mean? You bet your ass.
So maybe you can help me a bit more with this one, because I don't think we use this one as much in the UK, but is it like when you say to someone like, you bet your ass I'm going to help you, like you can count on me kind of thing, like, you know, it's a safe bet. Is that what it means?
Right. It's pretty much just like you bet, but it's a emphasizer on that. It's in other words, so it's saying it's a sure thing. You bet your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Or okay. As an American would probably say this, you bet your ass. Because there's like the bet and then your. And when we have that T-Y combination, often becomes a ch sound. So it's you bet your ass.
Mm. And I think we'd just probably use a glottal T there. So you bet your ass.
Yeah. So that's another way to say it's colloquial, of course, like you don't want to use this in a formal setting. You don't want to use it on your IELTS speaking exam or anything like that. But if you're hanging with friends and something and you want to be really emphatic that something is a sure thing, then you could say, you bet your ass.
Yeah. Cool.
The next one's a really funny one. I don't think I ever would use this one, but you'll have to let me know if it's something you'd use in the UK.
Yeah, I think you should share this one, because I think I've heard this one in like a TV series or right. A movie or something, but I've never said it.
Is this like something you'd say when you're really shocked, when you're really surprised?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's, I need to remember where I've seen it. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
So it's slap my ass and call me Charlie. It's a really, have no idea what it means, but I mean, I have no idea where that comes from, but I'm pretty sure that's like the same play that I've heard in movies and TV series. And usually it's when you're really surprised or something about something.
Yeah. And I'm sure I've heard this in an episode of Friends. Like I can't specifically think which one, but I know I can just see the character doing it. Like, you know, even with an action and like being really surprised and excited about something.
Exactly. All right. The next one's quite funny. I was actually just in preparation for this. I was watching, there's a really famous stand-up comedian he's from Finland and he moved to the United States, and he did a whole bit on one of the most surprising things in the US is how many different ways that we can use the word ass, that it's one of the most, one of the things that he thought he had really good English, but then he moved to the US and things like this, he realized that there's so many subtleties, so many different ways to use this one word. And this was one of the ones that he said was really confusing for him, because it's like, how can you have, it's the word is half-assed. So it's like, how can you have half an ass?
Yeah, that's really funny. It would just be like a little cheek. Yeah, so we would say half-assed, or we have an expression as well, like, I can't be arsed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In English, we'd use the F word for that, which I guess I'll, to keep this PC in some ways,
yeah.
Even though we're talking about ass, I won't say it, but yeah, you can't say in American English, I don't think you can say I can't be assed. but it does sound very British.
Yeah. And I think, does half-assed mean like when you do something, if you do it half-assed, then you're doing it not with a lot of effort, you know, you're not giving it 100%.
Exactly. You're only giving like half your ass instead of your full ass.
I'm at 50%.
So yeah, if you say someone did a half-assed job on something, it just means like they didn't do a good job on it. They were lazy about it or something like that. It can be a good one to use if you're angry at someone, maybe because they didn't bring their all to it or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe even jokingly with a friend. Mm-hmm. All right. So moving on, maybe this next one, there's a popular superhero movie by this name. So maybe people have heard it. What is it?
Kick-Ass.
Okay. And would you use this one in the UK or is it really American for you?
Yeah, I don't think like we would say Kick-Ass so much. I think there's another one that's similar that we've also got on the list that maybe we'd use a bit more. But this has a positive meaning, doesn't it?
It does. When you say usually something kicks ass or something is kick-ass, it means like it's awesome. It's another way to say awesome. Yeah, I think I even used it before by saying we had like a kick-ass shout out or something like that. That just means just meaning it's an amazing shout out. So there's a more literal meaning, of course, that you could say to kick someone's ass. That means like you're going to beat them up. You're going to hurt them. Or you could even use it like, for example, that test kicked my ass. Like it was extremely difficult. Or my coach kicked my ass yesterday. Like meaning that doesn't mean like he beat you up. It just means that he put you through a training that was really difficult. So you're really sore today.
Yeah. I think even just this one word has like, you can use it
all
for so many.
Yeah.
Just this one. So it's really interesting to like learn about them just so you can understand them and then use them if you want to.
And you were saying we had another one on this list that you would use more in the UK that's similar to this, right?
Yeah. So obviously it's come from the States, but badass.
Badass, we'd say in the US, yeah. Yeah, it means the same thing, right? But it could also be like when you want to emphasize maybe that someone did something that was really cool or that like really impressed you, you could say that was badass, or you could say that person's such a badass, meaning that that person's like really cool or really impressive.
Yeah, so you'd use it to describe something that was really cool, wouldn't you? Like you could even say that was a badass movie or something like...
Right, or you could say, I don't know, if there's someone you really admire, you could say like, such and such person is a badass. Like they don't care what other people think about them, or they do things that are just mind blowing.
Yeah. So although it has bad at the beginning of the word, it's a compound word. It doesn't really mean that it's something bad, does it?
Yeah. It's like where the heck did that meaning come from?
So I know. Like... Who invented it?
But that was like in the 90s, right? That we would say bad meaning good, like it got kind of a slang use that meant the opposite of what the word was. So you'd say like,
it's true,
like Michael Jackson had a song that was bad, and maybe that's where it came from, is that bad actually meaning, you know, good, like really cool, doesn't care what anyone thinks about them.
That's true. Yeah.
Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode. All right, so then the next one, usually not a very positive meaning, right?
No, this one is like, you know, if someone's being a bit annoying or like a bit of a know-it-all, you'd call them a smartass, wouldn't you?
Yeah. The American pronunciation is a bit different, smartass, because you have an American T there, and the R is, would it be rhotic or non-rhotic? I was confused which one's more American.
Yeah, so I would say smart.
Mm-hmm. And I would say smart, and together with ass, smartass. So another way we might say this too, if you want it to be less, because this could be a little bit offensive, obviously, depending on the context and everything you're using it. There's a one that you would use, for example, if you're wanting to say to like a kid that they're this thing, and then you could say smart aleck. Would you say that in the UK as well?
Yeah, yeah. People use that a lot in the UK. Yeah, smart aleck.
Yeah. So smart ass or smart aleck is someone that it's kind of like the, it's not, it doesn't mean stupid, but it means like someone who is, they're kind of being a little bit arrogant in their, like trying to seem really smart or something, or they're being maybe, like a know-it-all, like someone who's trying to, how would you describe this?
Yeah, I think you've described it well when someone's being a bit of a know-it-all and stuff like that, isn't it?
Yeah. So looking up the definitions of this, it's a person who is irritating because they behave as if they know everything. That's a good way to describe it. And like sometimes you have, I think like especially my parents probably use this a lot when I was a teenager. Because teenagers like to act like, you know, their parents know nothing and they know everything and stuff. And so you might use that a lot with teenagers. It's like such a smart aleck.
Yeah.
Stop being a smart ass. Like,
yeah. Or you don't know everything. He's being such a smart ass. Like, yeah.
Is that one you'd use in the UK as well?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think maybe the older generation would use smart aleck more and younger people would use smart ass.
I'm wondering why these got so much more, why the word ass like has gotten so much more use in the US, like why that originated in the US that we started using this in so many different diverse ways. And because from what you're saying in the UK, a lot of these are used, but they come from the American influence, right?
It's true, yeah. I'm gonna delve deeper. I really want to find out why, because it's true for most of these, they're really American, and there are some that we do use quite a bit in the UK, but not all of them, and maybe it's more because of the influence.
Right. We definitely, maybe if you all want, you can let us know, and we can do a lesson on the history of the word ass.
Yeah.
So this one, the next one I actually used in the intro, I said, maybe you can listen to this podcast while you're hauling ass down the freeway. Mm. Hopefully no one's actually doing that because it'd be a bit reckless. But what does that mean if you're hauling ass down the freeway?
Yeah, this is a super American one because we don't really like, I think the word haul as well, we don't use it as much, but it means like hurry up, isn't it? Like if you're telling someone to haul ass, you're telling them to like get a move on, like to... Because if you haul something, is it like you're carrying it or you're moving it from somewhere?
If you haul something, maybe it's really American too, because we have like our big pickup trucks and whatnot. And I don't know, there's like an American culture of hauling things, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's even a company called U-Haul. Did you see that ever when you were in the US visiting?
No, not that one.
U-Haul, because it's like you haul your own stuff. So it's like a company for moving that you can rent trailers, like something that you would attach to the back of your car that you could put a bunch of things in. So people will rent these if they're moving a house or they have to carry something big or like many boxes or something like this that wouldn't all fit in their car. Then you could put this behind your car and it's like basically a big box with wheels. And it's called the company's called U-Haul, and we often call this a U-Haul because it's like you are hauling it. You're carrying it yourself. So to haul is like to kind of schlep would be another word we'd use, like to carry heavy things, to carry a lot of things. But to haul ass just means to go very fast, or as Andrea said, to hurry up, like saying you need to haul ass, you need to hurry.
Yeah, and you might have seen, well, I've seen this word a lot on YouTube, like with influencers and things like that. Like, oh, look at my like mango haul, or, you know, my clothes haul. I'm changing my spring wardrobe or something. Oh yeah, it's huge. Like, so they'll order loads of clothes from maybe one place or very many places, and it's called a haul. And it's basically, yeah, everything that they've bought, and maybe they'll show you it, maybe try it on and all that kind of stuff.
You're so much more up to date than I am on the trendy English. That's American too, right? You're saying, or general English?
Yeah. Everyone's using it now. I think I've seen British influencers use this as well. Yeah,
I must be living under a rock. The drawbacks to like living outside the country and to not using social media.
Yeah.
Okay, talking about social media, the next one you'll hear all the time on social media, which is LMAO. What does that mean, in case people have never seen someone write LMAO on social network or maybe WhatsApp or a chat?
Yeah, so this is like even stronger than LOL, laugh out loud. This is laughing my ass off.
Exactly. I'm laughing my ass off. It's like you're laughing so hard that your ass must have fallen off.
Yeah.
And we have there's another similar one too. You said LOL, which is laugh out loud, and there's Roffle, R-O-F-L, which is rolling on the floor laughing.
Yes, that's true. I think we did. Did we do a podcast on this topic? I know for sure there was a lesson. Maybe it was a live with Ollie on the Real Life English.
I think it was
YouTube
just a live,
channel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where you guys did like a chat where you're actually using all of these, right? Trying to say them.
Yeah, yes.
All right. And people who tend to use these abbreviations, you might call them a lazy ass because they don't want to type out the whole expression.
Yeah. So it's just emphasizing that someone's lazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything really. I mean, it means the same thing as lazy, but it's more emphatic, right? Say like, you could say like, my brother's really lazy. You could say my brother's a lazy ass. Basically mean the same thing, just stronger.
Exactly, yeah. Emphasize it. Mm-hmm.
And that one goes really well too with the one we saw earlier, that you half-ass something. Usually would be a lazy ass that's half-assing something. Okay, and then the last few we have, there's tons more, and we actually have a blog article which we'll link in the show notes so that you can learn even more of these if you're interested in using them. But the last three that we have are expressions. So what's the first one, Andrea?
Put your ass on the line.
Ooh, this is a good one.
Yeah.
If you put your ass on the line, that means that you're putting yourself at risk, right?
Yeah. It's like you're going to be the responsible one. You've probably seen this one in movies as well. Like you'd hear people say, it's my ass on the line, or it's my ass on the line. And they're like, you know, you better do your job because I'm the one that's going to be in trouble if you don't do it properly.
Right. This is probably like one also, I'm sure it's in Friends at least a couple times.
Yeah, for sure.
And the next one, I think it's kind of related too. It's a similar use of it. So cover your ass. Or cover your back if you want to use it in a softer way, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would use this one as well in the UK a lot. You'd want to say, you know, so that again, like if you're doing something where maybe someone's not acting in a responsible way, or maybe, you know, sometimes we say put things in writing so that you have proof that it was said or that it was agreed. And that's a way to cover your ass. It's a way to cover your back.
So it's basically like an assurance of protection, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And then the last one.
Yeah. Get your ass in gear.
Or in American English, get your ass in gear.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, so you would say this to someone when you want them to get organized, or you know, when you want someone to get organized, you'd say, get your ass in gear, or maybe they're being really slow, a bit like haul ass, but maybe sometimes it's to do with bigger things, like maybe life things as well.
Yeah. I think too, it's kind of like you might say this to someone who's a lazy ass or who's half-assing something. You might say, get your ass in gear.
Yeah.
Like you're telling them to figure things out, you know, because they're doing something really badly, or they're being a slob, or they're just not acting maybe in a mature or responsible way.
Exactly.
All right. As we mentioned, there's so many more. So we will do an exclusive lesson over on our Instagram so you can learn more with this marvelous, versatile word. And as I mentioned, we also have an article over on our blog that we will link in the show notes, which you'll find in the description or over at reallifeglobal.com.
But before we go, we do want to ask for your help with something. We would love to know which topic you would love us to discuss in one of our future podcast episodes. So to vote, all you have to do is head on over to our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, and you can cast your vote there.
Yeah. So thanks so much for joining us today. Hope that you've had a lot of fun and that you can put some of these different expressions and slang words to use. And we'll see you next week on the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3.
Aww, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. and connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.